on the phone, really from the all the way on the left coast this morning. I'm going to start again. In 3, 2, 1, all the way from the left coast, I was very lucky to get the opportunity to speak with Mr. Michael Reagan. He's on the phone this morning. You heard him on this radio station for a number of years, the son of the former president, the 40th president, Ronald Reagan. Michael, first off, morning, sir. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you very much. Good to have you call me.
This upcoming event you're going to be speaking at, that's going to be coming up, by the way, I believe, that'd be 1 week from today, but ticket sales, I know, are cut off today. It's the 2017 Williamson County Ronald Reagan Tribute Gala that's going to be coming up. So a fundraiser there, I believe, as well. This is a target-rich environment for people right now, and I don't mean that in the sense of Scalise and the shooting. There are so many things that are going on out here that deserve and need and are screaming for attention. I hardly know where you start with a conversation like you, because you've been around immersed in this for decades.
Yeah, I mean, it is interesting to look at the time frame that we're in. People are always saying to me, you know, gosh, I wish we had your father back. And I look at them and say, so what makes you think he'd want to come back? And it's true, because things are so different in this day and age. And I try and think, how would he handle this? How would he handle that? And it's fun to speculate how he would, in fact, handle things today, like he handled things back in the 1980s. But I enjoy going to these events and just, you know, regaling people with stories about my father, places where I was with him when he made decisions that change the world.
Well, you know, it's interesting.
That's exciting for me.
Michael, it's interesting you talk about what would he say, but in his farewell address, didn't he say everything we need to know about what was coming in the day that he warned in his farewell address about our lack of civic ritual and our responsibilities to government? We no longer teach this, that he saw what was coming then.
Well, absolutely right. And he was concerned about those things. And we do not teach. You know, I was with a young man a couple years ago, and we were playing golf, and I'd been invited to go to France to raise the flag at the American Cemetery at Normandy on that Sunday. And I said to this young man that I was going to do that. 28 years old, he looks at me and he said, why is there an American Cemetery at Normandy?
Right.
Had no idea why there was an American Cemetery in Normandy. I was with a young man in Berlin a few years ago, teenager, and I asked him, what do you know about the Berlin Wall? He said, well, the Americans put it up to keep the communists out of their sector.
Right. We have a twisted sense.
We don't teach.
We have a little a twisted sense, I think, sometimes. But this takes us to another subject then, doesn't it, very quickly. Do you want to call it fake news? Do you want to call it sophistry? Or you want to call it lying?
You know, in some cases, it's what they don't report. Yes, fake news is probably a very good word to put on it. I think there's lying that goes in on it, too, because that's their agenda that goes on. And my dad put up with it. The difference was between my father and Donald Trump is my dad didn't react to it. My dad reacted to it with a laugh and a twinkle in his eye, and he would walk away. There wasn't that Twitter that my father could do, but he didn't get angry at it. He didn't let it frustrate him. And I think in some ways that's one of the Achilles' heels of the president. He lets those things really, really grind on him, and it didn't do that. Now, interesting enough, it did Nancy. I mean, Nancy would stay up at night and eat bananas because she hated the news when it was negative about her husband. My dad would sleep like a baby.
And this is an interesting story because there are direct parallels. I mean, Ronald Reagan, I was there. Oh, he's going to bring a World War III. He's a warmonger. It's going to be the end of the world. And they did that to your dad. They're doing it to Donald Trump. But one of the things that I think differentiates people that those circumstances exist is that your father knew the need to build support in Washington. He was such an outsider, even though with the governor's office, when he came in at this level, he knew you had to have some friends out there. And Donald Trump seems to not appreciate that fact.
Yeah, I mean, that's really a downside also. You can't always play to your base. You've got to grow your base if you're going to get things done in Washington, D.C. You got to find a way to bring them in. I remember my father saying to Tip O'Neill when they got together at the White House, when they were trying to get, or my dad was trying to get, the largest tax break in American history passed August of 1981. And his last thing he said to Tip O'Neill was, he says, "You just tell your Democrat friends, any one of them that vote in favor of my tax break, I promise I won't campaign against them in the next election."
Right.
Now, that meant a lot because my father was so popular. The fact that there was great worry if he campaigned against a Democrat in a Democrat, congressional district, the Democrat would lose. Donald Trump does not have that at this point in time. And he's going to need that if he's going to get much of his agenda really pushed through without, having to change all the rules in the House and the Senate and every place else.
And I think it's interesting because there's another subtext to that, too. If he said he wasn't going to do it, he wasn't going to do it. Now there's so little trust and so much animosity back and forth all the time that you really don't believe anybody anytime. And I think that's one of the greater costs that we've paid in this current climate, the inherent polarization and distrust. You, when I read your work, you go right at it. You go right to it. You are a man of few words, kind of like a Hemingway of political columnists. You say the words, and you seem to be unabashed, unafraid at any time.
Yeah, I sit back and I just look at these things, and I say, I might as well just don't sugarcoat it. Just say it the way it is. I mean, even Donald Trump called me the Monday of the inaugural week to remind me I didn't support him in the primaries. And I'm thinking to myself, is that what you really want to talk about?
Right.
And you're going like, come on, Donald, it's over. You won. You're going to be sworn in this week. But there's another story I've been working on also, and if you've been reading my stuff, is that all this stuff about the Russians being involved in this last election.
Right.
Back in 1979, 1980, and 1984, the Democrats were literally knocking on the door of the Russians, begging for their help to defeat my father in the 80 election and 84 election. And Ted Kennedy went so far to knock on the door of the KGB to get them to try and help him defeat Jimmy Carter for the nomination of the Democrat Party in 1979. And I put the story out there, and CNN, nobody wants to talk to me about it because they've got their own agenda.
Right, or Al Gore.
Is get rid of Trump, but don't talk to somebody who can give you the information that, wait a minute, this isn't the first time the Russians have been involved, but the last time they were truly involved, the Democrats literally knocked on their door, the KGB and the ambassador from the Soviet Union to the United States during the Cold War, and asked and begged for their help to defeat my father because he was that warmonger you just mentioned.
Selective recall is really great stuff if you can get it. I mean, you've got Gore making phone calls to China about money as well. Let's talk about Russia and Reagan. I mean, now there are 11 statues in Europe. And matter of fact, I understand they want to put a new one up in the Ukraine. The Ukrainian president made some really great comments about your dad earlier this week in an interview. Really caught me by surprise, talking about the great charisma and that now that we've got another president like that, what could this mean to Ukraine? That how we're appreciated and Ronald Reagan appreciated. I have in my notes 11 statues in Europe to honor Ronald Reagan, your father.
Yeah, I mean, I was involved with the one that's in Poland. I worked with the Poles there to put one in Gdańsk, Poland, by Pope and my father and Pope John Paul. I've worked on getting a plaque. Now there's a plaque in the ground at the Brandenburg Gate commemorating my dad's speech, June 12th, 1987. I just, finished with the Reagan Legacy Foundation. My foundation, we just built a building in Normandy, France, at St. Mary Glees, the Ronald Reagan Conference Center. So these people really, are honored by my father because of what he did and what he was able to accomplish. But that placard on his desk said it all. No telling what a man can accomplish and where he can go if he doesn't worry who gets the credit.
Right.
We have too many people today wanting to take all the credit, and they end up getting nothing accomplished. And my father understood you have to find a way to work with people. And I was saying in an interview the other day, I said, today there's no Lech Walesa, Vaclav Havel, Helmut Kohl, Ronald Reagan, Margaret Thatcher, Pope John Paul II. That cadre of leaders is not there today that found a way to come together back in the 1980s to change the world.
You know, changing the world is what a lot of people have on their minds right now. Socialism, progressive, even though you can look to other countries, Venezuela, and go down the list, and you literally have a former presidential candidate, current senator, that says, we want a socialist America. Can you imagine during the time coming right out in the town square, in social media, on national TV, and saying, I want to create a socialist America?
Yeah, I would take the person up and I would just say, why don't you move to one of those countries, stay there for a couple of years, see how it works out for you. But they can say that because the college campuses are rife with professors who are teaching that you know everything in America is wrong. I mean, you go back to the former president, and my dad used to talk about with Jimmy Carter, because Jimmy Carter kind of started that trail of going to foreign countries and pointing fingers back at the United States of America and blaming us for everything known to mankind.
Right.
And it really upset my father that Jimmy Carter would do that. He said, no president should go overseas and blame the United States for anything. And of course, Obama took that to another level. And this is what Democrats and socialists do. They blame America to sell their goods, if you will. And you have college campuses rife with these professors. Free speech is gone on college campuses. They're teaching socialism. They're saying those of us who go out and make a living, somehow we're bad and they're good. I mean, you have right now millennials, you have, 40% of millennials living at home making less than $10,000 a year. You're going, what's good about that? I mean, people ask me, when did you leave home? I said, gosh, I don't know. I think I was 6 years old.
Well, here we go. Let's talk about this, the socialism, the education, the lack of civic ritual, as your father, the former president, described it in his farewell speech, that we're not teaching this at the dinner table about what it is to be America. Is that type of, because I wonder about this, because that man who shot Scalise, 66 years old, you know he knows a lot. He's been around for a while, but there was this hatred that was ginned up in him. I couldn't believe when I saw the investigators yesterday. Maybe you saw this. They had the hit list for the Freedom Caucus, and the investigator says, that wasn't a hit list. It was just a list. And you see people selectively forget, move, while at the same time this violence that is it's rationalized. That we have to do this by any means. Let's resist. I mean, you got Eric Holder saying it out in California earlier this week. We've come to a new level, and always below it, just below the salt surface, is the prospect of violence.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you just listen to the rhetoric. I mean, that's all you have to listen to. Turn on TV. Like my wife says, gosh, is there a place where I can turn on the news? You just listen to the news. But you just hear the venomous, you know, outpouring from the media. Who themselves, you turn on a news station and they get angry because the election doesn't end up the way they wanted it to end up.
You mean like that Georgia-South Carolina race? You mean like that Georgia-South Carolina race? That's a good example,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah. And you sit there and then they start attacking. And again, if you wake up in the morning and you turn on, you know, the news and this is what you're getting, you're just it's filled with hatred and anger that somebody's to blame other than you for your position in life. The reason you're down is because they're up. And my dad talked about that in speeches. And that wasn't true back when he gave the speech back in 1964, A Time for Choosing. I would suggest people listen to A Time for Choosing. But people are trying to find someone to blame for where they are in society. And if you listen to the media today, you're going to get it. I tell people, see, if you want to be mad at the left, listen to Fox. If you want to be mad at the right, listen to MSNBC. And what the common denominator is, at the end of the night, everybody's mad.
Ain't that the truth?
But what a lot of people don't get is the fact you watch, for instance, you watch the Five, and you see them on the Five, and depending on who the liberal is, one Williams, whoever it might be, you got four conservatives, one liberal. And at the end of the day, people watching that and seething at Juan Williams, they don't understand that Juan Williams and the other four are going out to dinner and having cocktails and having a wonderful time. It's a great show.
Right.
You know, it ends there. It's a show.
Right.
And but we stay at home and we're still angry and they're out having dinner. And the other thing that about the media today, and I said this the other night, I think on CNN, I said, the problem with you all, you think history began this morning when you woke up. We just don't teach history. If they do, they do not report the historical facts to something. They start it from that morning when they woke up. That's when the history started. It was started for them.
And then retell it and rechange it and then to reshape it to their needs and desires on literally a minute-by-minute basis and think that we don't notice.
Yeah. And you know, the great thing about my dad is he could laugh at it, don't let it bother him, and walk out the door with a smile on his face. And he did it with humor. And today, there's no humor. Nobody's having fun. Ronald Reagan had, you know, it was a tough job being president, but he had fun.
Well,
today, nobody's having fun.
Well, I tell you what, you know, I was up in your dad's hometown in Illinois a couple of years back, and boy, do they remember him fondly there. I ran into a couple of women at the VFW, and they were like, oh, he was so fun at the lake when he was a lifeguard. He was so good-looking. A couple of elderly ladies, best time I ever had. Hey, I got to let you go. I've taken more of your time than I deserve, actually, but I really do appreciate it. Michael Reagan's joined us this morning, political commentator, Republican strategist, former radio host here, and still writing columns, too. Today is the final day, I understand, for tickets sales. This is going to be coming up today, the final day, and then the tribute to Ronald Reagan in Williamson County will be 1 week from today. Parting shot on how you see the world and what's coming and what are your thoughts today, Michael?
And my parting shot is the world needs prayer because there's no real leaders in the world today. Pray for some world leaders to stand up. Somebody needs to stand up and take charge of this world and find a way to work together, make it better for all of us.